look in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. Ye have seen also the breaches of the city of David, that they are many. Ye gathered together the waters of the lower pool. And ye have numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses have ye broken down to fortify the wall. Ye made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but ye have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to boldness and to girding with sackcloth. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. That's my title. Tomorrow we shall die. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom, your presence. Use your powerful word in our hearts. As we go to it together this evening, we pray you would be glorified. You would be lifted up. And Lord, that we would be changed as the Holy Ghost uses it in our hearts. We love you. We commit this time to you. We thank you for the privilege to be here on a Sunday night, open your word and fellowship together and praise you. May we leave blessed by your word tonight. So we pray for your presence now. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So what we find here, as we've seen here in Isaiah, a lot of chastisement, rebuking from the Lord of his people Israel. And this is no exception. But at this time, it's more about their attitude rather than their actions. And we as Christians, the devil can trick us into getting into trouble in either of those realms. You know, we focus so much on actions, a lot of times we forget about attitudes. And if we're not careful, we can get a bad attitude about the things of the Lord, about life, about family, whatever. And this is what happened to Israel. And God is having to rebuke them yet again because they had lost sight of what it was all about. Notice it says in verse 11, you made a ditch between the two walls for the water, but you've not looked unto the maker thereof. You didn't stop and consider who your creator is, that he is the one that made all this possible. They weren't looking to the Lord for direction, as we've been talking about the past two Sunday mornings. They weren't looking to the Lord for wisdom, for help, for victory. They were looking to them to themselves and to their own strength. And, you know, that's no different than what we face today in the world, right? Psalm 53:1, the Bible says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And what do we see all around us? But people basically acting in such a way that their behavior and their attitude says, there is no God. And, of course, there is a God, praise the Lord, our Creator, our Maker. And God wants us to be looking to Him all the time. But Israel was not doing that. They, again, had fallen into this wrong thinking that they didn't need to consult God. They didn't need to look to God. It was all about here and now. And so God is saying, you did this, you built this, you dug this, but you didn't look to your Maker. And so notice down in verse 13 that the final nail in the coffin, if you will, about their attitude at the end of the verse, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. Now this is such an important verse about a wrong attitude that God actually gave it to us again in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians. So let's turn over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 32. And then we'll see it again in the book of Luke. And what we're seeing here is a reflection of a wrong thinking pattern that life is about here and now. And for the unsaved, that's true. It is. But for us as children of God, life isn't about the here and now. It's about who saved us and where we're going, or supposed to be. Notice 1 Corinthians 15:32. If after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now, Paul here is talking about the importance of the resurrection, basically saying if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then Christianity is vain. And in the midst of that teaching, he says, if the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Well, it's true. If there is no life after death, if we all just die and go into the dirt like evolution teaches, let's eat and drink for tomorrow we die. In other words, live for now. Live for this life. Live for this world. Live for what we have, what we can see, what we can touch. And if we're not careful, I mean, we know the world thinks this way, but if we're not careful, we as Christians will think this way and be focused on the here and now and lose sight of what it's all about. Let's go to look at another verse, Luke chapter 12. Again, this is a rich man that Jesus Christ used to teach us a lesson here in Luke chapter 12. And notice, well, let's read the whole passage, starting in verse 15 of Luke 12. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I have that word things underlined, because that's what the world's all about, isn't it? And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. There it is again. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now you know where the world got the phrase. They got it from the Bible. Eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, live for now. And that's what this rich man said. Look at all this stuff I have. Look at all this extra crop I have. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to put it in barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. Because eat, drink, and be merry. That's what life's all about. What did Jesus say? Verse 20. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Tomorrow we shall die. You know, we may die tomorrow. Physically. But if we're born again, we never die. Amen? Didn't Jesus say that in John 11 when he was talking to Mary and Martha there when he rose Lazarus from the dead? He said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. It's true. We have eternal life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. So we won't die. So it's not a true statement. It's not even a right attitude. We're going to live forever with Jesus. And God wants us to be focused on that rather than this. There's another passage I'd like to point you to, Colossians chapter 3, if you would turn over there, please. Again, about this attitude that Israel had, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. Notice in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things. Now remember that word things we saw earlier? Where Jesus said a man's life consisteth not of the things. Now God is saying, seek those things which are above. Those are different things. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above. Not on things on the earth, for they are dead. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So which is it? Are we dead or are we alive? We're both. The old man's been crucified with Christ. The old man is dead. And we've been given eternal life. And God says not to set your affection on things here on the earth. Set your affection on things above. Don't have this attitude that it's all about the here and now. Because it isn't. It's about Jesus. And you think about it, the day He saved us, He gave us eternal life, He gave us the Holy Ghost to seal us. Of course, we have His preserved Word. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, a mansion. He told us there in John 14. He said all that, and he says, now I just want you to live for me. Because I own you, as he tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, your body and your spirit, which are God's. We belong to him now. He's not being unreasonable asking us to focus on eternal things. He's not being unreasonable asking us to serve him and to be focused on what counts for eternity. Because he's done everything for us. And we're going to spend forever with him. Now, if you would look at one more passage, James 4. One more passage for this point. James 4 and verse 13. Again, it's all about the attitude. Israel had lost sight of what it was all about. It's about God and about eternity. Notice James 4:13. Go to now, ye that say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Remember we talked this morning about aligning our will with God's will? Well, that's what James is saying. It's not our place as children of Almighty God to say, here's my plans, here's my goals, here's what I'm going to do, and leave God out of the picture. We ought to be saying, if the Lord will, if the Lord guides me, if this is what God wants, this is what I'm going to do. Focusing on what He wants, focusing on Him first, rather than, this is my life, I'm going to plan whatever I want to plan and ask God to get on board. And that's where Israel was. Eat and drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. You know, the Bible says in talking about the last times, there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that the Bible says, men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We are in that day. Are we not? Where now it's just all about pleasing the flesh. Making self happy. Everything has gone that way. You can't go to worldly counselors anymore because you go to a worldly counselor for marital struggles and their solution is, well, you just got to do whatever makes you happy. If it makes you happy to split up, then you need to split up. Never mind that God should be consulted, that He's already told you the answer. Do whatever makes you feel good. That's what everybody gets nowadays. But that's not scriptural. We're to do what God says. We're not to have this attitude, tomorrow we die, because, well, first of all, we're never going to die. But second of all, we're not supposed to live for what's here. We're supposed to live for then. We're supposed to focus on the future with Jesus Christ. And Jesus, if you go to Matthew 6, Jesus reminded us in these very simple verses in Matthew 6 that it's about eternity. It's about eternal things that will last, not things that will not last. Notice Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our hearts are going to be where our treasure is. And if our focus is eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die, then that's where our heart is. Our heart is on the things of the earth. Our heart is on the now. But if our focus is on Jesus Christ and what He's done for us and that we're going to spend eternity with Him, then that's where our heart is. And by the way, Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Did you ever stop and contemplate how to do that? You can't mail God a check. You got to stop and contemplate, well, what lasts forever? Because those are the things that count. Well, of everything that we can see and touch and feel on this earth, what lasts forever? only people. That's it. The earth's going to burn up. All the possessions are going to burn up. People and this. That's the only thing that's going to survive. So maybe that's what we should be focused on. People are going to live forever in heaven or hell. Eternally. So that should be our focus. The Word of God, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. It's going to live forever. Maybe that should be our focus. Things that are eternal. Now, the Bible talks about things that are eternal and things that are temporal. That's in 2 Corinthians 4. Let's turn over there. The end of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Where God reminds us that we're not to focus on the temporal, we're to focus on the eternal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I believe it's verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There's that word things over and over and over again. The things which are not seen are eternal. Because you say, what about people? We can't see each other. We see each other's shells, but we can't see each other's souls. And God is sadly rebuking Israel for this wrong attitude, and it has returned to our world. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, where Jesus warned that it would come back, and it has. This attitude of, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. Luke 17, notice verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that the Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So he's using two examples there, right before the flood, and right before the Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and brimstone. It says in both of those situations, the people were focused on the temporal. They were focused on the now. Their attitude was, eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And not long after this attitude was prevailing, they did die physically. One group through the flood, one group through fire and brimstone. They died physically and went off into eternity, some to heaven and some to hell. Think about it. We, as believers, there is no excuse for having this attitude. Let's go back to our passage in Isaiah 22, where God describes what this attitude is. Down to verse 14. It says, and it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts. He says, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till ye die, saith the Lord of hosts. What iniquity is that? The attitude of, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. Jesus Christ said to be focused on things that will last. Lay up treasures in heaven. And he's not just talking about giving in church there. A lot of people try to make it say that's just a minor part of it. He's talking about witnessing to the lost. Think about it. When you witness to the lost, somebody gets saved. Paul says that's fruit to your account. That's a crown. He says you are rejoicing in our crown there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He's writing to the Thessalonian Christians that he won of the Lord. And he says, you are my crown. You are my rejoicing. You are some of the reward I'm going to get in heaven. Now, we're not to serve Jesus for reward, but he told us to lay up treasures in heaven, to be focused on the eternal. And then I have this wrong attitude about tomorrow we're going to die anyway, so just live it up. That's what the world thinks, and that's how they act. But there is no excuse for a Christian having this sort of an attitude. We're just here. You know, in comparison to eternity, think about how long we're on this earth. It's just a blip. It's just a dot. And think about how long we're going to spend together with Jesus in heaven. I've heard people say this before, but really, going to church is about as close to what heaven's going to be like as you can get on earth. I mean, what are we going to do in heaven? We're going to be praising the Lord. We come to church and we praise the Lord together. What are we going to do in heaven? We're going to be fellowshipping with each other. What do we do at church? We fellowship with each other. We're going to fall down and worship Jesus Christ. We do that at church. It's the closest thing that we can experience, if you will, to what we're going to experience up there. So, not surprising that the world's not that interested in it. Going to church, I mean. We should be. Because tomorrow we're not going to die. Every time we have a Christian funeral, what do we say? This person isn't dead. They've just changed locations. They just left their shell behind. So we're not going to die. So let's not have the attitude, well, we've only got a short time anyway, so might as well live it up and make the best of it. No. God wants us to focus on Him, focus on what is important to Him. Find out what that is, get busy doing it, and not allow this wrong thinking, this iniquity, as God calls it, to creep into our own lives. You know, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. This is one of those thoughts that the devil uses against Christians. Put all your energy, put all your focus, put everything into here on earth. And then get to heaven and leave it all behind. All the possessions, all the money, all the effort. Leave it all behind and not have the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Tomorrow we shall die is the title, but it is not the attitude we're to have. And I hope that we won't. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for